You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our gospel for today is so short and sweet and to the point. It's the oldest rule in the book, the golden rule, some would say. Love God, love your neighbor. This text is a continuation of last week's great poking at Jesus during this Holy Week time. There are these various groups who are trying to entrap our rebel leader. And yet, this part of the text is actually not that rebellious at all. Other rabbis were known for interpreting the Torah in the same way. For the Ten Commandments can kind of be sorted into these two camps. Under love God, we have worship no other gods like me, do not use my name for evil purposes, keep the Sabbath holy, remember to rest, because you don't rule the world, God does. And under the love your neighbor column, we have the rest of them. Honor your parents, do not murder, be loyal to your family. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about each other. And don't be jealous of other people's stuff. It's a good list, right? And yet we all know it's easier said than done. You would think something like do not murder would be pretty easy to avoid. And yet here we all are, entangled in what is happening in Israel and Palestine. For it's our tax dollars, our representatives, we are a part of this global community, and it is complicated and messy. We're entangled in this big picture, and yet most of us have very little power to make change. And so that's the big level. Even winding things down to our level in the realm where we do have influence, these Ten Commandments can be challenging. Honor your spouse. Well, even this pastor in a heated conversation with her spouse this week may have thrown a pillow. It happens. Which is why Martin Luther included these Ten Commandments as a part of the small catechism. This was something he wanted all of us to know and read and learn by heart. And read over and over and over again. For this is the law. This is how God wants us to live. And yet, so often the law points to all the ways we do not and cannot live up to God's standards. If God's law is all that we have, we are in very big trouble. Thankfully, Martin, through his reading of Scripture, discovered this beautiful passage from Romans that Doug read for us today. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in the sight by deeds described by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And yet there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We know under the law we are never going to get perfectly right, and so we are justified by grace, a sheer gift. Not by anything we do or don't do, but simply because of who God is. A grace-filled, loving God. And because of that, we don't need to hear these Ten Commandments or Jesus' condensed version of love God and love neighbor as a checklist of something we need to do to get God to love us. But we can hear all these things through a lens of freedom, an invitation. Luther, when he writes about these things, actually writes the description of the Ten Commandments through this lens. And when I teach confirmation, I call this the flip side. instead of the do nots, we get a list of ways that we can lean into it. For example, do not murder becomes neither endanger nor harm the lives of your neighbors, but instead help and support them in all life's needs. Do not lie about others becomes we are to come to our neighbor's defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. These flip sides, I think, make the Ten Commandments a little more doable. They help us see life through this more compassionate, grace-filled way of being. They remind us that serving our neighbor is often not that one ginormous task to avoid, but it's actually about being in relationship through a bunch of little daily things that you are probably already doing. And here is where our stewardship focus comes into play. Today, Jesus reminds us that our whole purpose of life is to love who we are so that we can learn to love God and our neighbors. And that may sound intimidating, but I'm here to reassure you that it's not as hard as you think it might be. For we are here to do this important work together. My friend and fellow pastor, Brett, once made this beautiful comparison about what the church is actually called to be. And she writes that the church is not a pharmacy. We are not CVS here, the place where you get the Band-Aids and the medicines to feel better. But I sure hope that you feel better when you come. The church is meant to be more like a yoga studio, for it is through the continued practices and rituals that we become more like Christ. It's something that we need to attend to again and again and again. And the more that we show up, the more we'll be able to touch our toes, right? Our flexibility will become more visible. But it's something we have to attend to hear our first name, Beloved, to hear and eat the promise of forgiveness at this table, to proclaim peace in a world full of strife, to celebrate abundance in the midst of so much scarcity, to hear the law and then see the flip side of how these little things with great love can actually make a big difference in the lives of others. And through a lifetime of these practices, again and again and again, our minds, bodies, and hearts are shaped and changed. And so a part of your stewardship, a part of our stewardship together, is actually as simple as participation. Not talking about rain here, but participation. You showing up on a Sunday means you are stewarding your time. You are keeping the Sabbath holy. And so this year, as a part of our commitment cards, we are asking you to think about that, to reflect on your time, how you show up in this space, and in what ways can you help us foster a spirit of love and welcome here when you come. Could you come a little early and greet folks, hand out bulletins, and point out where the bathrooms are? Because this is a windy and confusing building. Could you hold the bowl during communion? Would you be willing to read God's word like Doug did today? Would you offer the gift of song by singing in our choir? Would you assist with the prayers like Greg is going to? Could you come and set the table in between services? Or perhaps Sunday mornings is too chaotic. Would you be willing to serve on our social ministry team or be a part of our council and help this congregation lean into our mission statement of being rooted and reaching out in God's love? I think in this post-COVID world, the hardest part is that initial yes. Making that commitment. Me reading that list maybe even made you sweat a little bit. I don't know why why it's hard, but it is. And I'm going to admit to you today that it's hard for me too. But I know once I am here, I'm so glad that I made the choice to say yes. And in that moment, my anxiety and exhaustion did not win, and that feels good. You can even sign up for a lot of these things through our Faith app. So if you haven't done that yet, do that. I really love that at Faith Lutheran, our kids are setting the example. Both Charlie and Henrik have read this fall, and Lena and Theo have held the bowl during communion. So if our kids can do it, we can do it. We can do these things. And so, dear ones, as you look onward to 2024, I invite you to pray about how you want to lean into this practice of the Ten Commandments, of loving God and loving your neighbor here at Faith Lutheran. How can you say yes? How can you help deepen our community's welcome to those who show up? And in the meantime, I want to say thank you for the many, many ways you have already said yes, for the ways you have kept the church going during the pandemic and all the pastoral transitions, for the way the love of God has shown up through you, through Sunday school and ushering and serving communion, through bringing treats, and singing and proclaiming peace, the many ways your words and actions, you have leaned into the Ten Commandments and to being the love of God for one another. And know that your pastor gives thanks for you. Happy Reformation Day, dear church. Amen. Thanks be to God.